Turn again, please, to that portion of Scripture which we read earlier, Exodus chapter 15. And look with me at verse 24 and 25. We read these words. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. Bitter waters made sweet. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee, we praise thee for thy precious word. We thank thee for the scriptures of truth, which are able to make men wise unto salvation. And O God, we pray today that not only would you have a word in season for your own people, bless your saints. Encourage us, Lord, in the way. Help us to walk with thee. But Lord, we pray you'll have a word in season for the dear unsaved, without Christ and without God and without hope. Oh God, if they were to die right now, they'd go out into hell forever. What a solemn truth. And yet, Lord, it is the truth of the Bible. We thank thee, Lord, that we believe the word of God to be the truth of God. And we pray today, Lord, that you would take your truth and burn it within the hearts of us all, especially those without the Saviour. Oh God, we thank thee and we praise thee for this new year. We thank thee for the privilege that you've given to us again to serve thee in this new year. And oh God, as we seek to do that, we pray that we might know the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Fill us with thy power, we pray. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth. We pray, O God, that each time we get up into this pulpit and open the word of God and read it and seek to preach it, that we might know the leading and the guiding of God in our lives. O God, help us always to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Help us, Lord, always to seek to uplift the person and work of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that those who hear will be blessed and challenged as the word of God goes forth. O God, help us, Lord, to receive the word with gladness. We thank thee, Lord, for thy precious word. We just pray, Lord, that it might come with freshness even to our hearts today. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. After the great victory that God gave to Moses and the children of Israel at the Red Sea, Moses, at the command of God, led the Israelites out into the wilderness of Shur. From the Red Sea, they journeyed 3 days into the wilderness until they came to a place called Marah. When the children of Israel reached Marah, they faced a crisis in relation to their water supply. This was the first of a number of crises that the Israelites were going to face throughout their wilderness travels in regard to water. It is interesting to note that this water crisis at Marah came about very quickly after the victory at the Red Sea. I wonder, did you notice that? No sooner had the children of Israel stopped singing the praises of Jehovah for defeating their enemies at the Red Sea, when they found themselves being tested again. If the children of Israel thought that their faith was never going to be tested again, then they were much mistaken. The truth is that throughout their 40 years' journeys in the wilderness, their faith in the God of heaven was going to be tried and tested many times. However, one would have thought that this crisis at Marah, coming so soon after the Red Sea victory, that the Israelites would not have doubted God after seeing God's power demonstrated just 3 days before. But sad to say, that was not the case. Because as soon as they reached Marah and realized that there was a water crisis, the Bible tells us here that the children of Israel began to murmur and to complain. They seemed to forget what God had done for them at the Red Sea. And although just 72 hours had passed since they had seen Pharaoh and the Egyptian army destroyed before their very eyes, the Bible tells us here that they began to complain instead of trusting in the Lord. This incident at Marah, just 3 days after the victory at the Red Sea, reveals unto us, child of God, how quickly our circumstances can change in life. One minute we can be in the mountain top in victory. The next minute we can be in the valley of defeat. One minute we can be praising the Lord. The next minute we can be complaining to the Lord. But there's one truth that we're going to learn today, and it's this. No matter what our circumstances may be, the God of heaven never changes. And child of God, I want you to learn that truth today. If you learn nothing else from this message, I want you to learn this. That the God of heaven never changes. Therefore, as we consider the bitter waters at Marah, I want you to notice a number of things. Keeping this truth in mind, that the God of heaven never changes, that his love towards his people always remains the same. There's a number of things I want you to notice here as we consider the bitter waters at Marah. And I pray that God will take his word and write his word upon our souls. The message in the main is for God's people. But I do pray that even those who are not saved in the meeting, that you listen very carefully, because before the meeting is over, there will be a message for you as well. But I want you to notice, child of God, first of all, a great problem. A great problem. Look at verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness, and found no water. Underline that. They found no water. Then verse 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Underline it. The waters of Marah were bitter. Now, humanly speaking, what the children of Israel faced at Marah was a problem. And it was a great problem. It was a serious problem. To have no water to drink in the wilderness was a serious problem. Water in any circumstance is a necessity. But water in the wilderness is vital. Without water in the wilderness, you die. And you die very, very quickly. You know, child of God, serious problems can affect and afflict the people of God. There's no doubt about that. I want you to notice when the problem arose. Israel experienced this water problem when they were obeying the Lord. This problem did not arise because the children of Israel were disobeying the Lord. They were walking in obedience to the Lord. They were following the cloudy pillar when this trial came upon them. Moses was leading them in a way in the which the Lord had directed him. It was not that they were disobeying the Lord. No, this water problem arose when Moses and the children of Israel were walking in the path of obedience. You see, it was the Lord that had led them from the Red Sea out into the wilderness. It was the Lord that had brought them to Marah. Very important that we note that. Child of God, obedience to God's word does not mean that we will have no trials and no problems and no difficulties in our Christian lives. Trials will come to the most faithful of God's people. Trials will come even when we are seeking to do our best for God. Always remember that. Sometimes when we seek to live for the Lord and serve the Lord with all our hearts and souls and minds, sometimes we think that trials and problems and difficulties shouldn't come our way. That's not the case. Psalm 34 verse 19, the psalmist said this, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, in this world, ye, speaking to his chosen disciples, ye shall have tribulations. But let me emphasize again how quickly the problem arose. Look what it says in verse 22 again. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, And they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days. Underline that little phrase. They went out 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. After only 3 days from leaving the Red Sea, the children of Israel found themselves facing a major water problem in the heat of the wilderness. The children of Israel had barely finished celebrating their victory over Pharaoh and his army at the Red Sea when this problem, this crisis arose. Child of God, life is made up of problems and trials. Now, I don't want to be morbid, but that is the fact of the matter. Each day brings with it new problems to face. Job 14 verse 1 says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Job 5 verse 7 says, "Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." This fact should not discourage us, but rather it should cause us to trust in the Lord more. You see, trials and problems are sent our way so that our faith not only may be tested, but may be strengthened. Therefore, do not be surprised if trials come one on top of the other in quick succession. Because sometimes they do. But it's so important that when trials come our way, that we react the right way. Of course, the children of Israel did not react the right way. I want you to notice the reaction of the people when the problem arose again. Look with me at verse 23. It says, "The people murmured." That means they complained. That means they grumbled. Why did God's people react this way? Because they took their eyes off the Lord. That's the truth of the matter. Instead of looking to the Lord, they focused on their circumstances, and this caused them to murmur and complain. Child of God, when we take our eyes off the Lord and focus on the problem, focus on the crisis, we will begin to murmur and grumble and complain. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 4 verse 4, "To the saints of God, rejoice in the Lord always." Now, if you were in the desert and you had no water and you traveled on down to Marah and found that there was water but the waters were bitter and you couldn't drink them, I would say 9 out of 10 of us would grumble. Maybe even 10 out of 10 of us would grumble and murmur and complain. So we need not be too hard on the children of Israel here, because really the truth is we can see here a picture of ourselves in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a problem. Oh, it was a great problem. Now, we're going to see in a moment that it wasn't a great problem to God, but it was a great problem as far as the children of Israel was concerned. Oh, child of God, the truth is that we're going to face problems in 2014. Trials will come our way. Maybe you think, well, the trials of 2013 have gone. There'll be no more trials. There'll be no more problems. There'll be no more difficulties. Listen, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Now, I could stand up here today and I could tell you lies. And I could say to you, listen, you're going to have no more problems in your Christian life. Listen, that day is not going to come until we get home to heaven. Not until we see the Lord in glory will all our problems be over. Oh no, the truth, the solemn truth is this, that throughout our wilderness journey upon this earth, there's going to come trials, there's going to come problems, there's going to come crisis. And that's why it is so important to trust in the Lord. You see, I want you to notice something else here. Not only a great problem, but I want you to notice here a great example. A great example. Now, we're not going to look to the children of Israel for this great example, because they murmured and they grumbled and they complained. No, to see the great example, we have to look to Moses. Look what it says in verse 25. "And he cried unto the Lord." Notice what it says. It does not say, "And they cried unto the Lord." It says, "And he cried unto
the Lord. While the children of Israel were murmuring and complaining, what was Moses doing?
Moses was praying.
While the Israelites were looking at their circumstances and feeling sorry for themselves, Moses was looking to the Lord. My, what a contrast we have here. And child of God, I want you to see the contrast. It's very important that you see the contrast here. My, the response of Moses to the water crisis, to the water problem, was to cry unto the Lord. This ought to have been the reaction of the children of Israel as well. They, like Moses, should have prayed and sought the Lord concerning the problem. But the Bible tells us here that only Moses prayed. Here we see the godly character of Moses. My friend, what makes men great? What makes Bible characters great? Those who stand out in the Bible as great? Simply this, that when the crisis came, they prayed. That's what makes them great. God gave them the grace not to worry about the problem, not to moan about the problem, not to complain about the problem, not to murmur about the problem, but to pray. To pray. And if there's a day and age when you and I need to be men and women of prayer, then it is this day and age in which we live. We're living in hard times. We're living in difficult times. And they're not going to get any easier. They're not going to get any easier. And that's why the people of God, you and I, who are saved by God's grace, we need to learn how to hold on to God. And we need to learn how to seek the face of God in the midst of the crisis. It's easy to pray when everything's going well. It's easy to seek the Lord when you're on the mountaintop, when Pharaoh and his armies at the bottom of the Red Sea. But I'll tell you, friend, when you go out into the wilderness and you come to Marah and the waters are bitter and there's no water to drink, then that's the time when the test really comes. Do we pray in the crisis? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Someone once said, we may learn a lot of things in life to impress men, but if you want to impress God, then learn how to pray. I would go a step further, and I would say this. If you want to learn to impress God, then learn how to pray in times of crisis. Anyone who ever did anything for God knew how to pray, and they knew how to pray in time of trouble. Crying unto the Lord in time of trouble has always been the characteristic of great men and women of God. And we have one example here in the life of Moses. I want you to keep your hand in Exodus chapter 15. I want you to turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 7, because we have another example of a man who prayed in time of crisis. And that man's name was Samuel. And of course, Samuel was a great character. He was a man of God. But there's a time of trouble here for the nation of Israel in 1 Samuel chapter 7. It was a day of crisis. And you'll notice what Samuel did. Look with me there at verse 9. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel. Israel was in turmoil. The nation was in turmoil. And everyone seemed to be running after everything that they should not have been running after. They should have been running after God. And here we have, however, Samuel, and he's running after God. And in the midst of this crisis, when the nation was in turmoil, the Bible tells us that Samuel cried unto the Lord. And did you read the latter part of the verse? And the Lord heard him. Oh, that's the wonderful blessing of prayer. When we seek the Lord, even in the midst of a crisis, the Lord hears us. The Lord hears us. May the Lord is more willing to hear our prayer than we are to offer our prayer. Turn over to 2 Chronicles 14. There's another man I want you to notice who prayed and cried unto God in the time of crisis. His name was Asa. Asa. Here again, Israel is facing a day of terrible crisis. But look what Asa does in 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 11. It says this, and Asa cried unto the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, is it nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power? Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Here we have Asa in a day of trouble crying unto the Lord. O child of God, you want to know what to do in 2014? Cry unto the Lord. This day of trouble that Ulster's in, this day of trouble that our nation's in, and this nation of ours far away from God, of that there is no doubt. We need revival. We need the power of God to be demonstrated in his church again. The Lord is able to send revival, and he's able to save many precious, precious souls again. What he has done in the past, he's able to do in the future. But we've got to cry unto the Lord. And we've got to seek the Lord. Don't give up. Many of God's people today have given up. They've given up praying. They've given up outreach work. They've given up witnessing. They've given up nearly living for the Lord. They're nearly ashamed and afraid to say that they belong to the Lord God of heaven. They're nearly ashamed to say that they're Christians, that they're saved by the grace of God. Oh, we should never be ashamed of the King of Kings. We should never be ashamed of the God of heaven. And no matter how bad the crisis, no matter how bad the situation may become, we can pray and God will answer prayer. God answered the prayer of Asa. Look at verse 12. So the Lord smote. So the Lord smote. And the Lord delivered Israel. Can we think of the crisis that Hezekiah was in? 2 Kings chapter 19. We could go on and we could consider how Hezekiah was in a day of trouble. We all know how Hezekiah prayed and how he spread the matter before the Lord. Well, in Exodus chapter 15, there's a problem. And there's a great problem. And of course, as Moses came to face this problem, it was not just the fact that there was no water. That was bad enough. And when he got to Marah, it was not just the fact that the water at Marah was bitter and the people couldn't drink. That was bad enough. But then he had the added problem of the children of Israel moaning and groaning and grumbling. He had to deal with that as well. What does he do? What does he do? Does he get the elders together to try and sort out the problem? No. Does he try and sort out the problem himself? No. He gets before the Lord and he prays. Child of God, that's what we need to do. We need to get before the Lord and we need to pray. Now you can have your reasoning and you can try and work the problem out and you can try and sort the problem out. But you'll fail. You'll fail. And you can get your friends together and you can discuss it and talk about it till the sky turns purple. But it'll never happen. It'll never happen. No, the secret. Here's the secret. When the problem arises, when the problem comes, pray. And pray with all your heart. And pray believing. And pray seeking the Lord with all your soul. And the Lord will answer prayer. Oh, did the Lord answer prayer for Moses? Well, look with me at Exodus chapter 15. Not only do I want you to see a great problem and a great example. Moses is our great example. But I want you to notice a great God. A great God. Look with me there. At verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord, in answer to prayer, showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. Bitter waters made sweet. In answer to prayer, God revealed to Moses how the bitter waters could be made sweet. Child of God, there is always an answer to our problems.
And that answer is always found around the throne of grace. The answer always comes from the Lord.
The Lord showed Moses a tree. Moses then had to take this tree and cast it into the bitter waters.
And the bitter waters would then be made sweet. And that's exactly what happened.
The miracle that took place was of God. Moses did not wrought the miracle. God wrought the miracle. Moses did not perform the miracle. In many respects, Moses was as helpless as the children of Israel.
But he believed God. That was the difference, you see. He trusted in God. He depended upon the Lord.
The power that was demonstrated in making the water sweet was God's power. This miracle reveals to us the greatness of God and the mercy of God to his people.
Just think about it for a moment. The children of Israel were grumbling and moaning and complaining and murmuring. And what was God doing? He was making the bitter waters sweet. That was the mercy of God. That was the grace of God. That was the goodness of God. Oh, child of God, isn't the Lord good? Isn't he merciful? Isn't he great? He gives us far more than we deserve, doesn't he? Did the children of Israel deserve the bitter water to be made sweet? No, they didn't. Do we deserve the mercy of God today? No, we don't. And yet, day by day, in our Christian lives, he pours out his mercy to us. He's a good God. He's a great God. He's a merciful Savior. Child of God, the Lord will help us. Here's the lesson. Here's the truth that I want you to learn today. It's a simple lesson. It's a simple truth. But I want you to learn it. The Lord will help us in time of trouble. He will make the bitter water sweet. He will lift our burden. He will calm our fears. Because he is Jehovah Rapha. The Lord that healeth thee. Verse 26. It's interesting to note this title here. Here God identifies himself to Israel with a new name during this healing of the waters of Marah. The name is Jehovah Rapha. The word Rapha appears about 60 times in the Hebrew Old Testament. And it means this. It means to cure. It means to heal. It means to restore. The word is not limited to the healing of the body, but refers also to spiritual healing. Oh, dear child of God, let me ask you a question today at the close of this meeting. Are you at the waters of Marah today? Is life bitter? Remember that the great God of heaven is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee, or the Lord that restoreth thee. The church today needs revival. The church today needs the healing balm of Gilead. Oh, I pray that we will all get that fresh touch from heaven today. How we need the moving of God, the Holy Spirit, in our midst again. How we need the Lord to come in revival blessing. Child of God, we need to pray for it. We need to seek the face of the Lord with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our minds. But oh, as we consider Exodus chapter 15, I want you to notice that the Lord is more eager to heal us spiritually, to restore us spiritually than we are to ask. He turned the bitter waters to sweetness. Oh, whatever your bitter experience, child of God, today, the Lord is able to turn that bitter experience into sweetness. The Bible tells us that he's able to restore the years that the locust have eaten. Isn't that what the psalmist prayed for? He prayed that the Lord would restore. Restore. And how we need in these days to pray for that restoration of heart and life. We're at the beginning of a new year.
We're going to seek to serve the Lord in this new year. In order to do that, child of God, we need the touch of heaven upon us. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to rededicate our lives afresh to the Lord. We need to remember what the Lord has done for us. Not only in the year that has just gone out into eternity, but from the day we were saved, yea, and even before we were saved, the Lord's hand was upon us, keeping us. Isn't the Lord wonderful? Isn't he gracious, slow to anger, long-suffering towards his people? And here we have a wonderful example of it. Oh, may we experience today the bitter waters being made sweet. May we experience today the goodness and the mercy of the Lord upon us afresh. Even in the midst of our coldness, even in the midst of our deadness, may we know afresh the hand of God coming upon us in revival blessing. The Lord wants to bless us, and the Lord wants to use us. Oh, may we dedicate our lives afresh to him this day. I want you to notice in closing that in this incident here of the Lord turning the bitter water sweet, we have a picture of the work of redemption, the work of God's salvation. The tree being cast into the bitter waters of Marah give life to the people. When we think of this incident, we cannot but think of the cross of Christ and the work of redemption. Now you're aware, I'm sure, that in the Bible the cross is sometimes spoken of as a tree. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus died upon a tree. Acts 5 verse 30, Acts 10 verse 39, Acts 13 verse 29, Galatians 3 verse 13, 1 Peter 2 verse 24. All of those references speak about the tree that the Lord Jesus died upon. And like this tree at Marah, the tree at Calvary, or the work, and that's what I want to emphasize, the work that Christ accomplished on the tree at Calvary can remove the bitterness of sin and bring the wonderful sweetness of life in Christ Jesus to the sinner. There are those here this morning and you're not saved. Your life is full of sin. You're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sin brings nothing but bitterness to the life. My friend, let me say this. If you're young and not saved, as you go on in life, that bitterness will increase. But sinner today without Christ, sin may have brought bitterness to your life. You have no real joy. But let me say, come by faith to Calvary. Christ dying upon the cross, dying upon the tree, has made the bitter water sweet. Your life can be changed. The bitterness of sin can be taken away through the blood of his cross. And thank God there's no better way for you to begin this new year than coming to Christ and finding eternal redemption through the blood of the Lamb. Oh, this world was in the bitterness of sin, lost forever. But upon a tree, Christ died and shed his precious blood in order to make the bitterness of life sweet. Take away the bitterness of sin. Take away the guilt of sin. Take away the punishment of sin. And I'll tell you, friend, if you come by faith and drink of that fount today, the Lord Jesus said that he would quench your thirst. You're thirsty. Sinner, you're thirsty. Sin does not satisfy. Oh, you might have some small pleasure in sin. You may go out to the pub. You may go out to the dance. You may indulge in some other iniquity and get some little pleasure. But when that night is over, when that pleasure indulged in is finished, then there's the bitterness of an empty life. Only Christ can take away that empty life. Only Christ can make the bitterness of sin sweet.
And thank God he has accomplished that on the cross, on the tree, when he died and shed his precious blood. Would you not trust him today? Would you not turn from your sin? Would you not seek the Lord while he may be found? Thank God there is redemption found in Jesus Christ. You need the Lord. Up until now, you have lived without him. God has been merciful to you. And if you were to die right now, you'd be plunged out into the bitterness of hell forever. But oh my friend, come in this first Lord's Day of 2014 and seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. For how do you know? But this could be the year when the death angel might come to your heart and to your life and usher you out into eternity. You need the Lord not only in the wilderness of this earth, in this world, but you need the Lord for eternity. Come today and be saved. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. Oh, be saved. Be saved today. Let us all pray.